Text for our sermon this morning, our gospel reading from Luke chapter 10, especially these words. Jesus said, "But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was. When he saw him, he had compassion." So far our text. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's a parable that I think we all know very well, that Good Samaritan parable. It begins with a lawyer trying to test Jesus. How well does Jesus know the law? How well does this lawyer know the law? Not a lawyer like today's lawyers, but this would be somebody who knows God's word inside and out. So kind of a biblical lawyer, almost like a Pharisee type of guy. And of course, this lawyer's asking Jesus a very law question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? If there's something you have to do to inherit, it's not an inheritance, is it? An inheritance is given freely to children, not because they do anything. And so this man is asking the wrong question. Jesus attempts to get him to realize this by asking him, "Well, how do you read the law?" The man comes back with the right answer. Love God, love your neighbor. Isn't that what you must do? Absolutely. It's absolutely right. You must love God with everything in you. And love your neighbor as yourself, not sinning at all. Love is the fulfillment of the law. This guy's got it right. However, he asks, "Well, who is my neighbor?" And that gives Jesus the moment to tell this parable. And I think it's a surprising parable, more surprising than we give it credit for, because we know it so well. Put yourself in the shoes of those who are standing around listening to Jesus tell this for the first time. Imagine what they would think. They would know that road from Jerusalem to Jericho very well. Often the priests lived in Jericho and would travel that road up to Jerusalem and back down after their time of service. These guys have been up into Jerusalem, this priest and this Levite serving, and now they're going back home. Both of them are constrained by the law, the priest and the Levite. The priest comes along and sees this guy who's laying there. Maybe he's dead. Maybe he's almost dead. There's no way the priest can help. The law forbids it. To get down and stoop down into that blood and mud and mire would make the priest ritually unclean. He'd have to take care of that guy and then go all the way back up to Jerusalem and make himself cleansed again. The law forbids it. Same with the Levite. He couldn't get down. The priest passed by. Why would the Levite get down? He knows the temple regulations. He'd have to go all the way back to Jerusalem too. All of those standing around knew there was no way the priest or Levite could help. The law forbade them. But what they would be thinking, Jesus would say next, probably like this. Then, regular Jewish guy, just like this lawyer here, came by. And what did he do? Well, he got down into the blood and muck and mire, and he picked this guy up and took him to the inn and paid for his care. He did all of it, just like any good Jew would. That's probably what they're thinking is going to happen in the parable. But you know, that's not what happens at all. A Samaritan. You imagine the reaction of the crowd? What? A Samaritan? These people that the Jews have been at enmity with for 500 years? They despise each other. They avoid each other's cities and towns and territory. They go around it. This guy? The Samaritan must have assumed that the guy who's laying there, bloody and beat up and robbed, was probably a Jew. He's in Jewish territory. Would make sense. And yet he's going to stoop down and help this guy? Unexpected, isn't it? And that's the point of the parable. It's unexpected. It's almost impossible to believe. There's no way that man who was laying there beat up and half dead could do anything for himself. He couldn't fulfill the law. He couldn't get up and go to the city for Passover celebrations. He couldn't do anything. Isn't that the point of the law? The law always accuses. The law never says, good job, way to go on this or that. The law always leaves us beat up, bloody. It always points out our sins. The ones that we know, the ones that others know, the ones that we've even forgotten about. The law says, what about this and what about that? Remember when you thought this or said that or did that? With every blow, the law makes us as that man laying there. The lawyer assumed he would be the hero in the parable, the next Jewish guy coming along to save the day. He didn't realize that he was the one beat up and bloodied, not by robbers, but by the law. There was nothing he could do before God or his neighbors. Nothing good. Even the best of his deeds was tainted with sin. Not one good thing could come from him. Jesus invites this man who knows Scripture so well to see his rightful condition. Jesus invites you who know Scripture so well to see your rightful condition. For that man laying there, that should be you. What can you do under the law? The best of your deeds, the best of your words, the best tainted with sin through and through. What can we offer to God or give to God? Our money, our stuff, our things? God has all things, doesn't need them. Ourselves? What has God need of a sinner? We are that man. And the source of our salvation should surprise us and shock us. The one to whom we have offended in every way, the one whom we have sinned against, God, stoops down to the muck and mire of our sin. He takes all of our sins on himself and shoulders that burden all the way to the cross. He doesn't just take us to an inn, but he takes our place under our punishment. Under the wrath of the Father, Jesus suffers on the tree, paying for your sins and mine. He brings us to the inn, to the church, where we hear of all that he has done for us, not constrained under the law that we must do this or must do that, but set free from the law to live and serve and worship. This parable strikes at the heart of law and gospel. It shows us who we are and who we need, that our salvation must come from someone outside us, even Jesus. He does all the work of our salvation for us. What joy we should have as a person who has been sent from death to life, from hell to heaven, apart from God to with God. We have been saved, and now we get to serve one another Not because the law tells us to. Not even because God tells us to. But because we want to. We know how much He has served us, and now we desire to serve one another and to worship God and love God rightly. And so we do. This parable indeed was shocking to those who first heard it. To us who know it so well and can repeat it time after time, what joy we have knowing that Jesus Christ is our Good Samaritan who has picked us up, forgiven us, and grants us life to serve in His name. Amen.